Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Koreans, the threat of North Korea, and then the BBC reporting, succession questions raised by presence of Kim's daughter. Last week, while monster missiles rolled through the North Korean capital, Pyongyang, there was a display watching this missile parade that is striking for interpretation. As the North Korean leader took up his usual parade position, writes the BBC, at the center of the balcony, he was joined, unusually, by a young woman dressed in black. Young woman as in 10 years of age. This is Kim Ju-ai, the fifth public appearance Kim Ju-ai has made with her father, Kim Jong-un. Is this succession? I go to David Maxwell, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to start with this unusual presentation. And then we're going to look at the Biden administration and Korea in the middle of the term. What is to be done? David, a very good evening to you. First, is there a tradition, a ceremony, a history in the Koreas of an empress or queen ruling as a god figure, as Kim Jong-un is regarded as a god figure? Good evening to you.
Well, certainly royalty has been prevalent throughout Korean history, to include queens. But I don't think there's ever been anything the equivalent of the godlike figure of the Kim family regime. I think what could be influencing people is the fact that Kim Il-sung designated his son Kim Jong-il in 1974 to be his successor. And 20 years later, Kim Il-sung died and Kim Jong-il took over. So I think that influences people. But I think it's a little premature to think about Kim Ju-ae being the successor. And I think this is more part of the propaganda and agitation department to build up the reputation of the regime, soften it, make Kim Jong-un look like a normal person with a family while he is able to conduct his political warfare, blackmail diplomacy, and, of course, develop the missiles and nuclear weapons that he needs to be successful on the peninsula.
All right.
So I think we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. And I think that but, of course, everything in North Korea bears watching.
Yes,
because we don't know what's going
to
happen.
We're watching a 10-year-old here, David. I wanted to start there because it was a major piece of news for that parade. That parade contained what you're writing about at the FTD, which is that Kim Jong's major new policy for 2023, he presented to the plenary session of the Korean Workers' Party. Is it those missiles we saw in the parade? Is that his policy, David?
Well, yes, he wants an exponential increase in his military capabilities. And I think the significance of the parade was the amount of ICBM launchers, which apparently was the most ever, and the suspected solid fuel rocket, which is really a game changer. If he has a solid fuel ICBM, that really cuts down the preparation time and the indications and warnings that we can see for the launch of an ICBM. So that is significant. And I think those are the significant developments in the parade. But of course, the West is all distracted by the daughter and her presence. And because we can speculate about what that means. And so I think that's a distraction and probably a deliberate distraction by Kim Jong-un.
It worked, David. I got distracted. So let me get back to the main threat, which is North Korea. You're evaluating North Korea's strategy from the point of view of the Biden administration. The Biden administration momentarily is overwhelmed with questions about surveillance balloons and Chinese aggression in the Himalayas, in Hong Kong, in the South China Sea, and what is to be done. North Korea, you and I have talked before, is an extension of Chinese foreign policy, but it has its own political strategy. the Biden administration's policy towards North Korea. Can you characterize it, David?
Well, yes. What they've said over and over again, it's principle and practical diplomacy, the desire to meet anywhere, anytime to negotiate without preconditions, while maintaining stern deterrence and ensuring the full implementation of all UN Security Council resolutions toward North Korea. That's really it in a nutshell. And what we're seeing, what we've seen in the past 2 years, is a real reinvigoration of the combined military deterrent capability. The resumption of exercises on a large scale from when they were cut back in the last administration, and as well as due to COVID. And then also the fact that Biden and Yoon, as well as Trump and Moon, have never lifted sanctions. And that's really a key point. Even though China and Russia are complicit in sanctions evasion, the fact that Kim Jong-un has never been able to extort concessions from South Korea and the United States is really a failure on his part. And that's something that needs to be emphasized.
There is a new president in Seoul. Has that changed the game in any fashion that we need to note at this point?
Yes, it's changed in a positive way. As I said, the resumption of major exercises, we are really in lockstep for deterrence and defense, as well as South Korea stepping up as part of the arsenal of democracy, providing weapons to countries in NATO and throughout Asia. It has introduced a new Indo-Pacific strategy that is really in line with the U.S. Indo-Pacific strategy. And it seeks to defend the rules-based international order. And although the South Korean strategy barely mentions China, it mentions defending the rules-based international order more than a dozen times, which is really an indication that South Korea is aligned with the like-minded democracies around the world to stand up to Chinese and other authoritarian actors' malign activities.
20 years ago, when I was first learning the threat of North Korea, it was constantly a concern, will they get an atomic weapon? Will they be able to put an atomic warhead on a missile? All those questions have now been answered, right up until the point that perhaps North Korea is ready to test not only a submarine-launched missile, but a hypersonic missile. All those questions have been answered. However, the story has moved in this way, David, that rather than look at North Korea as a single threat in North Asia, now we look at the threat to Taiwan, an imminent invasion or takeover of Taiwan, and what is to be done. And North Korea becomes not secondary, but no longer the focus of all of the allies of the United States. Now, that's my perception. I'm not projecting this. But is that true? Is North Korea no longer the major concern in the region?
Well, yes. I mean, I think as the Department of Defense has said, China is the pacing item. It is the country that really guides our strategic thinking and our strategic defensive preparations. So China is the main effort. And of course, the threat to Taiwan is a major threat to democracy. I think that North Korea, we are a victim of success of the armistice for 70 years and deterrence that has deterred a resumption of hostilities. But I think implied in your question, you are right to look at the connection between if something happens in Taiwan, something on the Korean Peninsula is likely to happen in both cases. So we're able to we really need to look at all of the threats. And Korea remains a strong threat. But the United States is, of course, dealing with threats around the world as it must.
I want to understand how North Korea is regarded then. China to launch a war, a predation, to take over Taiwan would be risking its economy and its bargain with its people. North Korea has no such bargain. North Korea is a bad actor that is irrational, has conducted itself in an unpredictable fashion for years. So between the two of them, my concern right now is Pyongyang is bragging about ICBM, solid fuel ICBM. They're bragging about their nuclear weapons. They're bragging about how they launch all the time towards Japan, sometimes over Japan. Is this not more dangerous than the predictable nature of China? Or is this conduct by North Korea at the direction of China? Can you tell, David?
No, we can't tell if China is directing this, and I don't think it is. But I think that that North Korea, first of all, ICBMs and nuclear weapons are not going to win a war for North Korea. They use them, North Korea is going to cease to exist, as has been repeated many times by our leadership, both in Seoul and in Washington. And what North Korea is trying to do is set the conditions so it can be successful. And that means driving a wedge in the ROK-US alliance, getting U.S. troops off the Korean Peninsula. You know, we are looking at this as if they're going to use their weapons, you know, as part of war fighting, which they will, but they're not sufficient to win the war. And so as long as the alliance remains strong, we're going to be able to deter North Korea. Kim Jong-un is not stupid. He's not going to attack into strength, but he's trying to weaken the alliance, undermine South Korea, create chaos, get U.S. troops off the peninsula, and then he will be able to coerce South Korea and, if necessary, use force when he believes there will not be a U.S. response. And that's what really they're trying to do. And all the talk about trading Seoul for Seattle or San Francisco or New York, all of that feeds into what Kim Jong-un is trying to do. Because he wants to make it seem as if we come to the defense of South Korea, then it's going to harm the United States, and therefore we should withdraw from South Korea. That's what he's trying to achieve with his political warfare strategy. And at the same time, using those provocations as part of blackmail diplomacy to try to coerce concessions, extort concessions from South Korea and the United States, mainly to lift sanctions.
I'm speaking with David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I learned from David that I was a target, and it worked, of distracting me from paying attention to North Korea's strategy when he had his 10-year-old and there was Kim Jong-un is so-called entertaining succession by his second child. That's his second oldest child, not his eldest child. I was distracted. Now I'm going to get back to David's direction, because the question now is, what is to be done when we come back? I'm John.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with the Citizen Awareness Program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.